Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, September 6th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, college football season is already underway. It's already treated us to some exciting games. The NFL season starts tomorrow. Baseball fans are glued to the standings, hoping their team makes the playoffs. Unless you're a Mets fan, and then it all ended last night. We'll talk about all of this and much more today with Mark McGuire of the Daily Gazette and Keith Strudler of Montclair State University, and we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. And what's this? Breaking news. Looks like a Boston team has been accused of cheating. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Well, we'll discuss that as well at Sports Today on Vox Pop. Your call's coming up after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. The college football season already off to an exciting start. Tomorrow night, the NFL season kicks off as the Kansas City Chiefs visit the Super Bowl champion New England Patriots, and baseball fans are watching the standings in hopes their team makes it into the playoffs. We have two sports experts with us today to discuss baseball and football and all kinds of stuff. First, it's Mark McGuire, executive sports editor for the Daily Gazette in Schenectady. Next is Keith Strudler, director of the School of Communication and Media at Montclair State University. Keith, also a WAMC commentator. Mark and Keith, welcome back to the program.
Always great to be here, Ray.
It is wonderful to be there as well.
Wow, and you're not even here, and you're there.
No, and I you know it's really hard because I'm in our beautiful studios here at Montclair State University, and I'm looking at the skyline, but I can't see both of your beautiful faces.
Well, consider yourself lucky. The number to call is 800-348-2551 if you want to chime in on sports today. 800-348-2551. You may also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Boston Red Sox may have received a little help when they won a series with the New York Yankees at Fenway Park last month. The New York Times has reported that the Red Sox used a high-tech watch to relay signs by the Yankees catchers during the series. The Times said Major League Baseball began a probe after Yankees GM Brian Cashman filed a complaint with the commissioner's office that included video. The newspaper said the video showed a member of Boston's training staff looking at his Apple Watch in the dugout and relaying a message to players. The Red Sox have reportedly admitted to Major League Baseball that they improperly used electronic devices to steal signs from their longtime rivals. The Times said the Red Sox told baseball investigators that Boston manager John Farrell, general manager Dave Dombrowski, and other team executives were not aware of the scheme. All right, we'll go to McGuire first.
It's a Boston thing. It's one of those things in baseball that you got to go right up to the line in terms of stealing signs. Perfectly acceptable. Been done throughout the history of the game.
If you get caught, you're liable to catch a ball in the ribs.
But it's also how you do it. There's been talk about 1951 postseason with the Brooklyn Dodgers and New York Giants, Bobby Thompson's home run, and the New York Giants were stealing signs using a telescope in the center field offices at the Polo Grounds. Is that kosher? No. Is it okay for a guy standing on second base to steal signs and relay it to the batter at home plate? Yes. So it's one of those written, unwritten rules. But the general accepted rule is you're not allowed to use electronic or other devices to steal signs.
Keith Strudler, this isn't the first time a Boston team has used electronic devices.
No, first of all, I think we need to dispel the notion that an iWatch is now a high-tech watch. Like, everyone has an iWatch.
Thank you, Keith.
Yeah, exactly. So we're post-watch at this point. Like, no one even wears a watch anymore because we don't need them. So watches are jewelry. So I don't understand. This is like, and I'm giving away some of my lines from commentary later on today. So this is like saying you can rob a store as long as you don't have a getaway car. Like, if stealing signs is either okay or it's not, right?
That's ridiculous.
No, it's not.
Yeah, of course
it is, sir. It's either unethical in its practice. Like, this is this, and again, I'm giving away all my good lines. This is like when your wife says, "Of course you can go out with Katie Holmes," until you meet Katie Holmes, right? So the reason baseball has been like you can steal signs is because it's a vastly inefficient process. It's hard to do. You can easily mask it and all those things. But now that we have a good way to do it, everyone's like, "Oh, that's terrible. You can't do that," right? I mean, this is and even the enforcement of it is, well, if you do it, it's not against the rules. We're just going to throw a ball at your face.
All right, McGuire, let's disabuse Montclair State University guy here.
This has always been a battle in sports in terms of the battle of a level playing field and what you want to see in the game and technology. This has gone on long before the internet age, long before those fancy watches that Ray seems to be bedazzled by.
Mine is a Timex.
Yes, I know.
And it doesn't even have a thing that allows you to
twist. Do you twist it?
No, that fell off.
Does it come out when it turns when it's midnight?
No, actually, it's 5 minutes ahead, and it'll never be changed because I can't fix it.
But sports has always put a limit on technology. We put a limit on what kind of bats you can use, what kind of tennis rackets you can use, what kind of golf clubs you can use. It is not beyond the realm of saying what kind of we could put limits on what you can use to steal signs. It's perfectly within the parameters of the game and other sports, and putting a limit on how you can use technology within the parameters of the sport.
I think Mark's on to the key point here, and I'll give you some credit. And this story is really about how sport and technology coexist, I suppose. And you know, in this kind of rapid digital age where technological innovation is so much quicker and things happen, you know, with just increasing rapidity, it's hard to stop the onslaught of technology. And so I think, yeah, there was a point when you could say you can't do this, you can't do that, but kind of this is not all that dissimilar from the swimsuit issue or the bicycle issue, to name some two very popular sports that I watch quite a bit. You know, if several years ago they were wearing swimsuits that made their bodies far more hydrodynamic, and they said you can't use that anymore. Same thing was happening in the Tour de France. They were riding bikes that made the bikes too fast, allegedly. So they changed it back to what they call a double diamond.
No, no.
The problem is, we live in an era where technology is kind of part of who we are, kind of organically. Like, everyone wears an iWatch all the time, and we use it for all sorts of information. So when you try to kind of create this space in sport that becomes, for lack of a better word, somewhat anti-technologist, I think you start to very much kind of run into a round peg square hole kind of situation, which, you know, leagues have had to deal with, whether it was replay technology or things like that, where finally the leagues were like, look, we're gonna have to do replay because everyone at home has replay. And so I don't know how you stop the use of things like iWatches to allow players to do things that are allegedly legal to let them do it better. And I'll give you one more highly esoteric from an ivory tower. And we literally are in an ivory tower right now from where we're broadcasting.
Nice.
Well, it's beautiful. But the it is lovely here. So the you know, several years, a few years ago, and Ray, I'm sure you're familiar because you're a you know, a man of thought. There was an author who wrote something, and it was later revealed that her work was plagiarized, or some of it she had lifted from digital content.
Yeah.
And she made the argument, I'm butchering this because I can't remember the name of the author, that's not plagiarism anymore. That once things are in this kind of digitized format, it belongs to everyone, and essentially it's almost like you're remixing. You know, it's kind of like the argument that Vanilla Ice made. You know, like, hey, I didn't steal Queen, right? That I'm just remixing. I don't know if I'm ready to go that far, but I will say that perspective on plagiarism is different than the perspective that, you know, Ray had when he was, you know, using kind of lead to type and all that kind of stuff, and he had to physically, like, lift, you know, passages from other people's work and insert them. I'm sorry, I butchered that.
Yeah, but, sure, you sure did.
But I just think that we have to, as sports people, and certainly baseball fans, are going to have to decide how much they want to evolve with technology. And my perspective is, if it's okay to steal signs, it's okay to steal signs with an iWatch.
I think that's ridiculous, sir. That is ridiculous. It's one thing if a guy's on second base and he turns his head to the right to indicate an inside pitch, or turns his head to the left to indicate an outside pitch. It's quite another to have someone stealing signs and then relaying them electronically. That, sir, it's not the same as your analogy of a bike that is designed to go faster. If you had a bat that was designed to have more spring, then you'd have an apt analogy. But this is not the same in any way. Mark, am I wrong?
It's when you're fundamentally changing the game, that's when you have to take pause when you're dealing with technology. It's what you're talking about, implementing an electronic strike zone, for example. which we see on telecast now. It's second nature to us watching a baseball game on TV to see a strike zone and say, oh, the umpire missed that one. Well, why don't they do it all the time? It would be a fundamental change to the game, and that's why, although it seems to be a fait accompli, baseball is justifiably not moving on it rapidly because it would fundamentally change the game. With equipment, you brought up two examples. I'll bring up another one from years ago. I played two seasons of softball with a liquid-filled bat that made me a home run hitter and absolutely terrified to play shortstop.
Yeah.
Was that like a candy liquid center?
It was.
No, Keith, really?
It made me able to hit a ball with exit velocity that was terrifying, and I was a leadoff guy, and imagine what a number four hitter could do. That fundamentally changed the game through technology.
But isn't that what happens? Doesn't sport fundamentally change as we change? I mean, as a postulate, isn't that kind of what happens?
But there's a certain point where you don't want it to, because then it ceases to be the sport it is. You do want sports to evolve. That's absolutely true. But then then it ceases to be the sport that you're following if you go too far with it.
All right, we got to take a quick. Go ahead, Keith.
Go ahead. Does football today look like football from, 1910?
No, absolutely not. But there's still some basic parameters: size of the field, goalposts. Did it evolve? Absolutely. The goalposts moved. They moved to the back of the end zone, for example. The equipment changed, but it didn't evolve to the point where it no longer resembles the game it once did. And the key point is it evolved. It didn't radically change.
Mark McGuire is here from the Daily Gazette and Keith Strudler from Montclair State University. We talk sports every so often on Vox Pop, and unfortunately today is that day. And we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Pelham Auto Service at the Amherst Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig, a worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972. PelhamAuto.com. Maybe Farm Historic Site, Rotterdam Junction, presenting Maybe Farm to Fork, an evening of locally farmed food and live music presented with the Electric City Food Co-op, September 16th, 5 p.m., SchenectadyHistorical.org. Mango Tree Imports, a Saratoga Springs fair trade shop with gift items from 60 countries, mangotreeimports.com. Temple Sinai, Saratoga Springs, New York. Religious school now accepting students for preschool through confirmation, saratogasinai.org for details. And Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Dairy and no-moo dairy-free, handmade artisan ice cream, sweet baked goods, hot fudge, and more, harolds.com.
Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Ray Graff here with you, and we're joined today by Mark McGuire, executive sports editor of the Daily Gazette in Schenectady, and Keith Strudler, director of the School of Communication and Media at Montclair State University. He is joining us from that particular venue. And so far, the connection is very good, Keith. You sound good.
Oh, they're some top-line top-line techies here, and we did moved into this 100,000 square foot facility with really, really nice broadcast capabilities.
Oh, beautiful.
We could do this. If you ever want to see my face, you can see it in 4K, so just know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's that appetizing of a prospect, but let's go to the phones at 800-348-2551. Brandon. Jeepers creepers. Brandon in Queensbury. You're on, man. Go.
How are you guys doing today? I was just calling in regards to the first topic that came up, really, with regards to using technology to steal signs in baseball. I mean, I don't agree with the argument and I forget who brought it up, that I realize that the game's changing and evolving with technology, but I don't agree that, an executive sitting up in a booth should be able to spy and help out the guys playing the game. I mean, the guys on the field is one thing, a guy in second base stealing the catcher's signs, but a guy up in the booth staring down and then sending messages to the coach or, manager on the field, that's a totally different thing.
Keith, what do you think about that?
Well, he can get in line if you don't agree with me. Call my wife. Look, there is something that's a little bit offsetting about the fact that there might be collusion with people up in the stands. I get it. Like I get why it's discomforting. It doesn't feel natural, and it doesn't feel like the game that we kind of have grown to know. But I also think that sports need to evolve in both their written and unwritten rules to be a part of the modern world, I suppose, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Where cheating is okay.
But if cheating was okay before, we've already crossed that.
There was a law of the game. You got caught stealing a sign. Your batter was going to take one in the ribs.
Absolutely.
We've dealt with this already. We will just devolve into cavemen. Like we don't worry about it. We don't need to have a real rule. It's legal, but if you
themselves.
I don't believe in that whole process of enforcement. I don't like the idea that I believe in rules, right? As a general truism, that's part of what I like about sports, is there are rules. I don't love unwritten rules. And I not that I want to bring everything back to the conversations I have with my wife. I don't like it, but we always end up there, don't we?
Yeah.
Right?
But baseball, more than any other sport, is rife with unwritten rules. You couldn't even write down all the rules.
Well, then maybe we should. Maybe we should write them down and decide which one makes sense. Like, I mean, there are times when you come home and I look at my wife and I can tell she's mad at me. And I'm like, why are you mad at me? And it's something like, you didn't do this. And I'm like, but you didn't tell me to do this. And it was like, well, you just should have known. That's an unwritten rule. Well, how am I supposed to know that?
All right, I'm going to adjudicate this for Brandon. Brandon, you are correct, and Keith is wrong, and I appreciate the call very much. Thank you. It's 800-348-2551.
But in Keith's defense, his wife is wrong, and Keith is right.
Thank you.
Thanks for opening that can of worms. Yeah.
Next on Vox Pop.
Keith Strudler
Keith's
is here.
Wife.
And Mark McGuire and you at 800-348-2551. Mike in Glens Falls. Mike.
Hi there. I am wondering about Tom Brady and Deflategate.
Yeah.
We all know that he allegedly was suspended for 4 games for allegedly letting the air out of footballs during a playoff game. Now, I am wondering if the NFL has done anything to take control of game balls away from the home team and put it into the hands of the league people, in much the same way baseballs are not under the control of the teams, but the umpires, you know, they wipe up the balls and get them ready for the games, and the teams have nothing to do with it except bring the balls out to them, to the umpires, during a game. Has the NFL done anything like that?
Mark McGuire.
That would make so much sense. Baseball does that. The umpires work up 12 dozen baseballs before a game. They did the monitoring last season of the football, so I don't think they've had the findings out on monitoring the air pressure and all that. Remember, we all became majors in physics and air pressure in the post-Brady era. It would make a lot of sense just to take that away from the home teams. If you go back even earlier in college football, it's the same thing. College football teams use their own footballs in games, offense, defense.
In high school.
Yeah, in the 70s it was absolutely ridiculous because you'd have these teams that were using the equivalent of basketballs that were running teams. And it got a little absurd. So I totally agree with you. Just have the leagues take it over and just take it away from the team so there's no issue whatsoever.
Mike, thank you for the call. We are joined today by Keith Strudler of Montclair State University. He's the director of the School of Communication at Media there. Also executive sports editor of the Daily Gazette, Mark McGuire. And our number is 800-348-2551. We go over to Christopher in Stuyvesant. Christopher, you all right?
Hey, I'm going back to the sort of technology conversation, which is, why is it acceptable that a professional quarterback is getting, he's getting calls from the sideline? They all got radios in their helmets. Why is there any distinction between that and doing the same thing in baseball?
Keith.
Oh, I like this caller. What's your name? Excuse me again.
Christopher.
Christopher. Christopher. I mean, I just think it's an obvious. Did you already talk about this? Because I kind of caught this midstream, and I'm sort of like, that just seems really odd to me. I mean, this technology is readily acceptable in football, but why is
it? I hear you. I'm with you. Look, they've got a deal with Microsoft. They walk around with those blue tablets, and they're blue tablets because everyone kept calling them iPads, despite the fact that Microsoft was paying like a gazillion dollars to have them in their hands, so they made them blue. So I agree.
Do you not think there's a certain nostalgia argument here, that people are just nostalgic about baseball, and therefore it's sort of seen as ruining the game, the technology enters into the fray?
Mark McGwire is shaking his head.
The difference is subterfuge. The difference is...
Oh, God.
The difference is subterfuge. That's the answer. Yes, one team is communicating to the same team. In the other example, one team is stealing from the other team using technology.
They're communicating to the... But do they not...
They're stealing
the one at a time. Ho, 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 ho. Christopher and Stuyvesant, now you go.
God, New Jersey's not far enough away.
I don't think it's stealing. I mean, they've been hand signaling. I mean, they've been doing this communication. It's like, you know, it's smoke signals back in the old days. I mean, now they're just doing it with technology. I don't think there's much difference.
Can I jump in here for a moment?
Sure, sure.
The headset, as I understand it, the football headset that the radio in the quarterback's helmet, and I believe in the defensive captain's helmet, they have to be turned off 15 seconds before the play begins. So it's not exactly a continuous James Joyce stream of consciousness as the play goes on.
Right.
That would be nice, though.
No. And under your saying, if there's no difference, would you have any problem then with another team hacking in to the signals from the sideline to the quarterback?
Well, it's been done.
Would you have a problem?
I mean,
would you have a problem with it?
I don't love these slippery slope arguments.
And Mr. Belichick, any idea?
I think they probably already had that idea. Christopher, thank you for the call, and thank you for agreeing with Keith. That'll be the one for the program. It's 800-348-2551. Let's go on over to Larry in Sheffield, Mass. Larry, you're on.
Thank you for taking the call. My comment is that I would like to see, because the technology is available, mechanized balls and strikes. I figure if you can get it right, why not get it right? Too many times I see missed calls that can affect the game.
Well, okay, and I'm going to let Mark go next. But as I see it, what you're seeing on TV is a two-dimensional representation and not exactly accurate. You're dealing with a three-dimensional space based on the height of the knees to the letters of each player, different height, different width. Well, it's the same width. It's the plate. But you would need some sort of a laser matrix to make this work, and everybody's personal statistics would have to be in there into a computer and set up every time they come to the plate. I don't think it's as easy as Major League Baseball says it will be. Mark.
You know, I'm back and forth on this. You're going to see some tremendous glitches with computerized strike zone. You will see it probably get it right eventually. I think you're probably going to see it at some point. At the same time, you're still going to need a home plate umpire.
Absolutely.
You're still going to need a home plate umpire for plays at home. You're still going to need it for foul tips. There's still so many issues that have to be worked out. There's a very strong argument to be made. We have the technology. It makes a lot of sense. Umpires do miss calls. On the other hand, there are reasons why some calls are missed. The Mets were playing a 9-1 game against the Phillies. Weather was coming in. You know something? Every ball that didn't bounce or was above their eyebrows should have been a strike. And I don't blame the umpires for calling it a strike.
And we'll throw it over to Keith in a moment. But I believe that there is a beauty to having – and those umpires are very good. And I believe there's a beauty to having the slight differentiation between umpires. Let me give you an example. Two nights ago, my son's team was playing a baseball game. It was a championship game of a Labor Day tournament. This umpire was calling consistently three inches off the plate. I was behind home plate watching. Well, this pitcher on the other team, he was good, and he lived there. 3 inches off the plate, got the call every time. The ump was consistent. The players knew it. And I think there is a beauty to that inconsistency. Keith.
So you're saying that it's beautiful that they're calling this wrong, even, and everyone knows it. They're all going to have to change to do what this ump, who's 3 inches off every single time. What if I drove 3 inches to the left of the center stripe all the time? Everyone's like, look, that's just what he does.
I sense that is what you do.
I mean, you know, if that's, I mean, who knows?
All right,
I don't understand. If I agree with Mark that there are, I don't know that they are there yet. Do I think they will be there? Of course. I mean, what, how long ago did we put someone on the moon, right? I mean,
well, the Mets won like the World Series that year. I know that.
Exactly. So, I mean, this can be done. Now, whether it is a better spectator experience, whether the fans like it more, those are questions that are left for people at a much higher pay grade, and they'll have to determine that. But I will say that younger sports fans are far more interested in kind of technological answers to problems than perhaps people who have lived watching baseball their whole lives a certain way.
Larry in Sheffield, you pick it up here.
Well, I agree with that. Yeah, I don't, like I said before, if you can get it right, why not do it?
Okay.
And it does change. I've seen several games where one ball or strike here or there can. I saw one game where the game was lost just on that one bad call.
All right, well, yeah, thank you.
Enough.
Thank you for the call.
These are great
sir.
Calls, Ray. Yeah, the screener's doing a good job. Well, yeah, I think that was the second that agrees with Keith.
All right, fine. That's your quota. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 800-348-2551. Let's go over to Deborah in Massachusetts. Deborah.
Hi. So when we're talking about reviewing plays and using technology, now in baseball, you've got some guy someplace buried in the dugout or behind the dugout reviewing a play, signaling to the manager, who then tells the umpire that they want a review of the play, as opposed to the manager having to stand there and say, kind of, I'm eyeballing that. The guy sliding into second on the steal might have been safe. I think that happened last night where somebody slid in and was safe and they had it reviewed.
Yeah.
During that 19-inning.
Did you watch?
And fell asleep and woke up, and my husband said, what inning are we in? I said, I think it's 14, and then fell back asleep and saw them score, you know, in the 19th.
Yeah.
But the thing is that the technology is creeping in, because the manager isn't standing there on the steps of the dugout. He's got his hand out, kind of signaling that maybe he's challenging, and then he's got somebody in the back who's reviewing the tape within a certain time frame, and then he challenges.
Yeah, they stall.
Yeah, they stall, but I think that the key is that he's not standing there making, like, am I going to call it? He's got somebody who's reviewing tape.
Is that good or bad, Deborah?
I'm not sure. I mean, when you're talking about how it's evolving, you know, and you're stealing signals with an Apple Watch, but you got a guy in the back who's reviewing and you know, giving you an idea. I don't know whether what's good or bad. I'm just talking about what was being talked about before, how it's evolving. And now you can use this video.
Yeah.
This person who is not in the dugout, whispering sort of into the manager's ear, make the challenge.
But I think the difference is that's not everybody knows that's going on. That there's some intern making, you know, $10 an hour who's watching that.
Oh, it's a paid intern.
Yeah, it's a paid intern who's doing that. And it makes for wonderfully awkward TV where the manager's on the top step going, I don't know. I have no idea. I wasn't watching. But what's really fascinating is that $10 paid intern is making a really important decision, not the manager, whether you should go out and challenge or not.
Deborah, thank you for the call. All right, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I am against the instant replay. And I am against any of the changes that have happened in the last 30. The DH, I'm against that. I like baseball the way it was meant to be. Keith, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Keith.
I like two-hour baseball games. I like calls to be consistent. I mean, I like technology.
But wait a minute. Hold the phone here. You like two-hour baseball games. That is what you do not get with instant replay. When I went to a doubleheader in 1971, August of 71, Seaver pitched one end, and Gary Gentry may have pitched the second end. One of the games was a full nine. It was under 2 hours. There was no replay.
You like those Thursday Friday getaway games? You know, the afternoon, trying to get on a plane. So, oh God, yeah,
89 right? minutes.
It was beautiful.
swinging above their heads. I understood. This is an imperfect science. And by the way, I just want to get in right now with the kind of the direction of this program, I don't feel like we're going to be talking about one of the greatest weekends of college football we've ever seen in a week one.
I have it on the list. We have a lot of stuff ahead, but we have so many calls about this because of the incendiary things you've said.
I apologize. If I apologize to all the listeners, can we talk about what happened to Texas A&M? Dear God, talk about falling asleep and waking up in another universe.
Sorry, dude. Everybody on the line wants to talk
about baseball.
This.
So the replay thing is challenging, and you know tennis got it right a long time ago, and maybe it's because tennis is an easier sport, and maybe because it's just one person and one, you know, a couple of lines, and it's not that complicated. But I feel like replay made tennis so much better. I mean, and I think anyone who's a, you know, kind of a fairly loyal tennis fan will say that not only do the replays kind of make the sport more accurate, make people believe that the sport is more accurate, but also kind of make the sport a little bit more fun. And if you've ever been to a live tennis match, watching them do the replays on the big screen is a lot of fun. And so I don't know how you get there in baseball.
Because everybody's making the call simultaneously. I mean, you're watching the replay and they're slowing it down and you got this oversized ball hitting the line.
Yep.
You know, the umpire can't screw up that call.
That's a lot easier to.
It's fun.
It's a lot. It's a straight line. It's a round ball. It's a lot easier than what you guys want to do, which would have automated balls and strikes.
I didn't say I necessarily want to do it. I'm saying it's going to happen, and if they do happen, it's going to be down the road.
We're going to go back to 1950 in my perfect world, baseball will have
wool uniforms.
That's right. The
day games.
Well, let's go back to 1920 when the spitball was legal. I tell you what, we'll take a break now and we'll go down memory lane. It's Keith Strudler and Mark McGuire. 800-348-2 is the number. That's the microphone, Zach. 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from NatureWorks Organic Land Care, specializing in innovative ecological landscape construction of outdoor living spaces, all organic food systems and garden features, design, installation, and organic maintenance. NatureWorksLandCare.com. Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, career testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume and cover letter writing. CareersInTransitionLLC.com. Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors, serving the Northeast since 2001. StoneSoupConcrete.com and on Facebook. Chester Common Table, Main Street, Chester, Massachusetts. Locally sourced comfort food, beers, wines, and spirits, live music weekends, ChesterCommonTable.com. In Lakeview Orchard and Farm Stand, 94 Old Cheshire Road, Lanesboro, Massachusetts. Apples, peaches, pumpkins, winter squash, apple cider, pies, pastries, kapusta, galumpki, and pierogies, lakevieworchard.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here today with Mark McGuire of the Daily Gazette in Schenectady and Keith Strudler of Montclair State University. It's our semi-annual sports program, and giving Keith a chance to change gears here. And I promise you, all of you left on the line, we'll get right to the phones, and then we'll go back to our conversation about technology and baseball. But here are a few emails, and they cover a few different things. This one is from Gary. What are the details of the Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott's suspension, and what action is the NFL Players Association taking to counteract it? That's from Gary in Albany.
I'll leave that to the actual sports reporter because I'm confused about the direction that's going and how that's going
to
play out.
It still has to have a ruling on the suspension that's supposed to be coming down Friday. Because they didn't rule on a certain time period, which I think was Tuesday at 3 p.m., he's allowed to play this week. However, the suspension was upheld for now. So the 6-game suspension was ruled valid by an arbitrator.
He lost his appeal of the 6-game suspension. That was a 2.5-day hearing. The decision came down, but he will be able to play against the Giants on Sunday night. Meanwhile, U.S. District Judge Amos Mazant said he would rule on Elliott's request for a temporary restraining order by Friday. If the request is denied and no further legal action taken, his suspension would start in week 2 at Denver.
Right. It will be six games unless there's a judicial intervention at this point.
All right, this one's from Chris in Springfield. I'm excited that you guys are doing a sports vox pop. Well, there's one. I've called in before, but I'm watching my 15-week-old son, so can't call in. I'm a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, but I've always lived in the Boston area. My question is, could any of the local teams, Bruins, Rangers, Islanders, Sabres, eclipse the Penguins anytime soon? That is from Chris in Springfield.
It still looks like Ottawa or Ottawa, as it's pronounced.
Ottawa?
Ottawa, yes.
Since when?
Since forever.
Really?
No, yeah. That can't be right.
Ottawa. And Nashville will be back again this year. In fact,
is that like Adidas, where the people in the know call it, you know, by its proper German name?
Adidasler, yes. Got to know these things, man.
Fine. All right, this one's from Edward. It's going to be a long time before technology solves the concussion problem. Given what we now know about concussions and their consequences, who in the future should be liable for these consequences? Parents, youth, schools, colleges, NCAA, NFL, equipment makers? Well, that's a show in itself, Edward. I'm sure Strudler wants to say something.
Well, I mean, who's got the money, right? That's who's going to be liable. So who has the money, who has deep pockets? The people who don't have deep pockets will get out of the sport of football. So I think you will see if this continues to be the problem that it is, and if by all accounts it will be, unless technology really does make a turn for the better. You'll see high schools pulling out of that game. Certainly colleges that can't afford that might pull out of the game. You know, the NFL is very vulnerable in this situation. What happens moving forward, who knows? But they are certainly vulnerable. I think these sports don't end at the top. They get cut at the knees. So I think it's important and interesting to watch what happens at the high school and college levels, certainly.
And I think in terms of stakeholders, everyone is, and it's really parents are the first line of defense. My kid's an college athlete. She's had a concussion. Actually, she had a severe concussion right where you are at Montclair.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was it Strudler's fault?
Not even see when I was throwing that frisbee.
Okay. No, here's a pro tip. Don't dive headfirst into a goalpost. So it's a matter of...
Did she score the goal, though?
She's a goalie. She stops him. But she's and she was wearing a helmet, and she still got a concussion. So it's a matter of parents are going to be doing risk assessment, and that's going to be going on much more intensely as the years go on.
All right, we'll get back to the phones in a moment. One more email here, and this one's from Larry in Albany. This is the last year the Siena-U-Albany basketball game, one of the great Capital Region sporting events, is scheduled. Will they find a way to keep it going?
They always do. They always do because they make money. There's always been a yin and yang in terms of fairness. The Times Union Center holds the most people, but they shouldn't be the host of every game. They finally played a game at down at the CEFQ Arena, the home of UAlbany, and this third game is sort of a neutral site game that's being played at Times Union Center. They have to work out something, and they will, because there's too much money on the table.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Keith Strudler is here at Mark McGuire, and you at 800-348-2551. John in East Greenbush. John, thanks for waiting. You're on.
Oh, thank you. Hey, I'd like to say a couple things. First of all, baseball is the only asymmetrical game where the defense puts the ball into play. It's not a grid. No park is the same. As a matter of fact, teams have even gone so far as to cut the length of the grass or wet down in front of home plate, depending on, you know, what kind of hitting their team was.
Yeah.
It's played by humans. It's not played by machines. And in my feeling is that balls and strikes, first of all, you never question them because they're not absolute. They're an opinion. And that opinion is being rendered, you know, basically put by the home plate umpire. And you play the game. I think it'd be a good idea to adopt the same mentality that golf has, at least for most aspects of the game, which is that you play the ball as it lies. In other words, you play the game as it presents itself on an asymmetrical field, played with human beings and not machines, with people who have opinions. That being said, there are circumstances like the robbed home run. I forgot the Yankee game where the kid, you know, put the glove out. That should be reviewable. There should be certain circumstances that are reviewable, much like it is in football. But the idea of stealing signs, as long as there's no enhanced technology, if you've got a guy on second base and he's turning his head left and right and using his own eyeballs, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Agreed.
And one last thing. I'll go really out on far on a limb because I know this is extremely controversial and not popular. But you know what? The idea of steroids, I know it's not a good thing for your body, but these people are basically sportstitutes. They are paid to use their bodies the way that they want to. Someone who gets an asterisk because they're on steroids because they could hit a home run, you still got to hit the ball. And it's coming 90-plus miles an hour. As far as I know, steroids doesn't enhance your eye-hand coordination or anything like that. And just one last comment is going back to the ballpark, you know, a home run in one park is a long fly ball in another. So there's nothing about baseball that is like any other sport. And if you were to use technology, you're just going to suck the humanity out of it.
I love that. Keith, I'm going to give you a rebuttal here, but I think John has hit the nail squarely on the head.
Game set amount. I understand. It's hard for me to argue against like the symphony of sport, right? So I'm like the bad guy now because I'm Darth Vader, and I'm telling him there's a more efficient way to do this.
You're
we can
not
build the Death
like,
Star.
You're not like the bad guy.
You're just misinformed.
Exactly.
I don't believe in the Force, right? You know, I believe in these dark ships that they can build everything really fast, and you get the stormtroopers, and they take care of it. I don't need some mythical force to make this whole thing happen. I understand why you appreciate kind of the humanity of sport, and I can't really counter argue that. That's like arguing against like music, right? But this is kind of like the same people like why would I listen to something with a synthesizer? I want to hear a guitar. I want to hear vocals. I get all of that, but in that world, first off, I think you've severely limited the audience because of some of the subjectivity, and people don't enjoy subjectivity. Why do Americans not love soccer? One of the many reasons not love soccer for a long. They don't know how long the game's going to end. Like, how long does the game go? 4 minutes, 5 minutes after, 6 minutes after? Secondly, you have made kind of outsiders some of the most important people in the game. So in this world where the umpires kind of have this kind of, I don't know, song and dance with the strike zone and all the other things that happen, and the groundskeepers decide, I don't know, I'll trim it down a little bit today. I want it to roll a little faster.
They're not outsiders. They're integral parts of the game, Keith.
But they're not.
They are.
Athletes. Should the people who make tracks for the Olympics get to be like, I'm gonna drive a couple tractor trailers over lane one. Let's see how they like that.
I'm talking about the umpires, not the groundskeepers.
But they are part of the game, but should they be the most integral part of the game? Should they be like front and center? Aren't they supposed to be kind of just allowing the athletes to do what they do in an efficient manner?
That is,
I'm paying to see the athletes.
That's been the age-old argument. You didn't come here to pay the umpire. That doesn't mean that you get rid of them.
Note to self, never have Strudler on the ISDN again because he's very obstreperous. When he's here, he's much better behaved. Brian in Albany. Brian, you're on.
Good word.
Hey, how you doing?
He's nice.
Good.
Hey, I'm going to open another can of worms for you.
Oh, boy.
I got a set of rule changes that I think would fix baseball, in my opinion, in my mind.
Okay.
First of all, I would merge the two leagues and create a DH for the starting pitcher only. Once the starting pitcher comes out, over to National League rules.
Interesting.
That creates a really big chess match for the teams. And I think you would see a lot less this strikeout home run ball. You would see more teams trying to get on base and play that more of that small ball to try to knock out the starting pitcher. And then second of all, I would also add, when your pitcher comes out and you revert to National League rules, in my opinion, the worst thing in baseball is this lefty-righty, lefty-righty matchup. To me, that's so boring and it drags out the game like big time. I would make it so that if a pitcher comes in, say, in the sixth inning, he has to pitch that full sixth inning unless injured or goes over whatever, an arbitrary pitch limit or something like that.
Well, that would speed up the game.
I think that would fix a lot of the problems.
Interesting.
I like it.
Really
I like all of that. Yeah. Now, there might be some issues because people would all of a sudden fake injuries and there'd be all sorts of stuff that might happen. But I like that. And I like the whole you stick with one set of rules until you've got a DH until the pitcher comes out, because Now it's encouraging some pitchers to go a little bit longer, although now you have to deal with pitch counts and shoulders. But I like all of that.
Wow, that
was
great.
That's some smart thinking.
Yeah, I'll go with that. I'll tweak the second part and make it that they had to face a certain number of batters, let's say three batters, because you don't want to have a guy getting shelled for nine runs because he can't take him out in an inning. But I that's a great idea. Well,
let's go one step further. Let's get rid of the DH and get rid of interleague play. What do you think?
Yes. And let's go back to wool uniforms.
No, you
yes,
just had
and
a
day
collar
games.
That advanced the
Ray,
games.
Ray,
get
Ray's
rid-
doing his Luddite thing. Let it go.
All right, back. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you. Obviously, we've had too many beers together. Let's go to Pete in Hyde Park. Pete.
Ray, I got to admit, I'm a friend of Darth Vader. I used to work That's with that- Keith. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, boy.
Hey, it's good to hear from you, Pete. Yeah. Pete's a great guy. Track coach at Marist College.
All right.
I've had many arguments with Keith over a lot of different things, but unfortunately on this, I tend to agree with him more than disagree. I mean, you know, you're pining for 1971 doubleheaders. You probably hate the shifts too. So, I mean, you know,
he said shift,
the
by the way, just in case you're listening. Yeah.
Right. Well, the shifts. The people that hate sabermetrics, you know, also, you know, they tend to like it when, you know, you're turning 50 hits into outs. So, you know, the whole thing of old school, it kind of goes out the window. So,
I don't mind shifting the infielders so much.
Unfortunately, I have to agree with Keith. But I just wanted to call and say hi to Keith and say, hey, hope you're doing well down in Montclair.
Oh, yeah. Come down and visit. Love to see you.
I will. All right.
Thanks, Pete. We appreciate it.
So he established he had a lot of friends on the Death Star. Okay.
How about that? How about that?
Pete's a traditionalist, though. Pete is a traditionalist. I've had many arguments with Pete about kind of, you know, maintaining a certain sanctity of sport. But and I actually is a good point about the shifts. And I also said shift. S-H-I-F-T-I-S.
Yes, correct. You're shifting infielders.
Yes.
To one side or another, to based on these statistics.
Yes, and okay. So I mean, a lot of people don't like that as well, but that's how sport evolves. It just is what it is.
That was around when Ted Williams was
absolutely.
Around.
That's been around a long time, and wasn't used as often. And didn't I see a game recently where there were four outfielders?
Yes.
Who did that?
It was and a guy got a hit.
Yes. Oh, forget it. Gosh.
It's lost. I didn't know you were allowed to do that.
Sure, isn't, you can.
Interesting. Let's go to Evan in Goshen, Massachusetts. Evan, you're on.
Yes, hi. I think one of the things that you guys could settle yourselves with, the difference between having technology replace or enhance the umpire's decisions.
Yeah.
So one of the things you could do, I figured this out a long time ago, put a little laser light that just hits all the corners of the home plate from above, and it has a little beep in the umpire's ear. If the ball crosses that line, he hears it goes across the plate. He decides whether it's high, low.
Oh, interesting.
Whatever.
So that would solve the problem of making a three-dimensional laser box. Yeah. Oh, very.
So you're saying
keep it human.
But a combination: use technology, but keep the human element.
So in one direction,
you use a technology to enhance the human's ability to judge what's going on. Doesn't replace him. Because it only goes in the umpire's ear. He hears a beep. He knows that hits. It broke the plane, and he decides how low. He decides whether it was late. He decides a bunch of all he ever did. He just uses his ears instead of his eyes to know what's going on with the plate.
Stormtrooper Keith, are you okay with that?
Yeah. What do you think, Keith?
So I like this. So it's not the self-driving car. It's the car that beeps when you go out of your lane. Correct.
Yeah. More like that.
I'm okay, right? I'm okay.
No, I mean,
that.
I think it's important that the umpire. I think the umpire should keep control of the game. That's real important.
Yeah, you need the umpires.
You know,
I'm fine with that. I think in some cases the umpire is there for the aesthetic, but I'm fine with that. Like, and there is something enjoyable. I mean, kids growing up, if we lose umpires, they'll never be able to watch Naked Gun.
There you go,
what a shame.
Enrico Palazzo, the greatest umpire
Evan,
ever.
Thank you for the call. Hey, Venus Williams moving into the semis at the U.S. Open.
It's just did three sets with a tiebreaker, just showing amazing run of older tennis
players. She's 37. Good for her.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And, you know, people should stop talking about her retirement, as it's been written many times. You know, she is still very much near the top of her game.
All right, you have 30 seconds, Strudler, to talk about the college football situation you wanted to bring up.
Well, that's a terrible. I mean, I just thought if we wanted to get into it, all the Texas football fans might want to call in and talk about what's going to happen to Kevin Sumlin, who you go asleep saying, what's wrong with UCLA? And you wake up and you say, why are the Board of Regents talking about at Texas A&M, worried about firing their football coach? And then, you know, 3 hours away or 2 hours away in Austin, you've got what looks like a massive crisis because Tom Herman, who was supposed to be the apostle, you know, can't beat. I can't remember who they lost. You know, Sisters of the Poor, something like that. And then their first game, Maryland, same thing. So I just find that to be an interesting situation. Clearly, the state of Texas college football in no way should be even on the same pantheon of whether or not people should be able to cheat using iWatch.
Fine.
I understand.
All right, 10 seconds, Mark McGuire.
And the biggest story of all was Howard beating UNLV in the biggest upset in college football history. A $100 bet would have netted you $55,000. Unfortunately, Ray and I couldn't scrape up $100.
Well, plus we don't condone sports gambling on this program here in New York State. And Mark McGuire from the Gazette, thank you for being here, my friend.
Awesome to be here.
Strudler, thank you for being here as well.
It was a pleasure being virtually in your studio.
Good job. Support comes from Wild Bird Junction, 308 Delaware Avenue, Delmar, offering wild bird seed, bird feeders, bird houses, and bird baths, binoculars, nature gifts, and garden decor, where people and nature come together. WildBirdJunction.com. Penny Farthing Investment Management, Amherst, a socially conscious fee-only investment advisor of personal retirement and endowment portfolios, including the Bright Penny Community Strategies, brightpenny.org, the 1850 House Inn and Tavern, now taking reservations for romantic getaway packages and special events, heated deck for waterfront dining, the 1850house.com. And Claire Pearson, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, for 14 years, offering plant spirit medicine and energy clearing for health, body, mind, and spirit, C-L-A-R-E, Pearson.net. Thanks again to Mark McGuire and Keith Strudler for joining us today. Thank you for the great calls and emails. Our engineer, Zach Malloy. Your phones were answered by Carol Lapani. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. We switch focus from the stars on the field to the stars in the sky tomorrow. Bob Bourbon will be here. Right now, though, stand by for news.